Live from KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, it's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now here's your hosts for Chatterbox.
Welcome to Chatterbox Video Game Radio, everybody. Today is, what, June 18th, I think?
Yes.
It's a special day in Chatterbox history. We ran an experiment this week, and we're going to talk about that experiment. And by we, of course, I mean me. My name's Alon Weissman. I'm the host of the show. I've also got Adrian in studio, as usual.
Just for the record,
yeah?
This is the first time that you did not do the air guitar to the intro, and I think I know why.
Why is that?
Because there's a girl in the room.
No, she likes the Guitar Hero. She's all over that stuff.
But you weren't doing the
I was rubbing my eyes.
All right.
As I was saying, Andrew's behind the glass over there, deftly producing the audio of the show. I appreciate that. And of course, as Adrian said, we've got Sharon in studio. So those of you, say hi.
Hi.
Those of you who've gone to the website, read about what my plans are for the show this evening, and you can also go look at some pictures of last night's gaming night over at my house. So I invited Sharon and John, some friends of mine, over to the house. Talked to them earlier in the week. I brought over my DS, and I said, here, why don't you, Sharon, someone who's never played games before, play my DS and give Brain Age a try. Do you remember playing that?
I do very well, yes.
And what did you think of it when you played it?
It was challenging, and it was totally new, and I wanted to see what was next. What next you had up your sleeve, Alon? And I really didn't know what was in store until last night.
Exactly. There you have it.
Yeah.
She's making some insinuations there.
You are so good looking.
Thank you, Andrew. All right, so here's what happened. I, at that point, only had Brain Age for my DS, but I thought, okay, here's someone who hasn't played games before, and she's someone who hangs out with my friend John. Now, I've mentioned John without actually mentioning his name on the show before. He's a hardcore gamer.
I don't think that's exactly true, for the record.
What? That I've mentioned
him? That you have not mentioned his name before.
Have I?
At least once, yes.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. Well, maybe I didn't realize it. But anyway, the point is, so John's a friend of mine. He's a hardcore gamer. He plays a lot of first-person shooters, a lot of real-time strategy. But that's it. He's got a really tunnel vision with his games. And I thought, okay.
For now.
I'm trying to expand his mind.
Yes.
So I said, Sharon and John, come over. We're going to have a game night. I'm going to have you, John, who only plays very specific games, be introduced to all these other games. And I'm sort of like trying to give Nintendo an early test here, because they're trying to make the Wii with all sorts of crazy party games and stuff, which are trying to transition the market over into people who don't normally play games. So I said, John, you come play games you don't normally play, and Sharon, you come play games, period. Never play games. No, but she's used to John. She hangs out with John, and he plays a lot of games. So, like, you know what it's like. And he tries to get you to play Call of Duty and Halo, right?
Yes, which is a pretty challenging place to start.
Yeah, because you're using, like, 20 different buttons and two different joysticks. It's a pain in the butt. So I recognized this fact. I said, okay, we have to start off with games that are simple to control and see what we can do about converting someone, not necessarily converting, that really wasn't my effort, but like I've always said, asked what games would be good to play for someone who hasn't played games before, to get them interested in these games. And I always said, like, Bust a Move, the game with the bubbles we played last night, right, shooting up the three balls of the colors and they drop and whatever. So I thought, that's a good game for girls who don't want to play games to begin with, like the boyfriend has the girlfriend who doesn't like to play. So
like the Xbox Live arcade games.
Yes. You want to bring in that style of game. So here's what we played. I've got my list. And it was actually in this order, although originally this was not my intention to play it in this order. But we started off with Rez. And then we moved
which
over.
Which was fantastic.
You liked Rez?
Oh, visually, it's beautiful.
And when you played it, how did you do?
Well, everybody, I guess, starts differently, you know? And I like to take a gradual approach. You know,
so you're
saying you didn't
do very well.
Well, exactly. And I have not an interest in trying to master a game when I start.
Yeah.
But I just want to get acclimated to it. And what I liked about that game is it engaged me, you know, like all my senses.
It was pretty cool.
It was pretty cool. And I like the feeling of flight. That was the initial thing that impacted me.
And we brought out the transvibrator for you as well. This is the first time I ever used the transvibrator with Rez.
That you did.
Yeah. Have I shown you this thing before,
no.
Adrian? It's only been sitting in a box in my house for years. And now I decided, all right, I finally got Rez again. And we're going to play it. We're going to use the Chance Vibrator. So you're right, though. You've got your...
And the fabulous thing of it, really, is it connects you to the person who's playing.
Yeah.
And so, you know, these games, it seems to me, on first exposure, take quite a bit of focus, you know? And so when you're sitting in a room with people, you've got this tactile... component of the game.
When you're holding the transpirator.
Right,
you
that your buddy next to you can fondle. And it keeps them sort of engaged in the game on a sensory level, because you as the player are already, you know, full-on engaged. And so I thought that was like the cool aspect of it. Yeah. And so it kind of gives you a sense, I mean, at least that particular game, it struck me, it gave you a sense of, like, the ebbs and flows for the person who's playing the game. Like, when you were right on, like, spot on and hitting your targets and in the flow of the game, the vibrational component of the game gives you a feel for when the game starts to accelerate and pick up.
Yeah, because with every level it gets stronger
exciting.
And stronger.
Mm-hmm.
So, but when you actually played it, you were still pretty tame with it, but that's because, you know, you're not used to the controller, for one, and you hadn't really played that style of game before.
Absolutely.
Although it's not very different from, like, Missile Command, which you probably played on the Atari years ago.
I don't remember that one.
That's the one where there's these lines coming
down
from...
Missile Command.
There's lines from the sky, right, and you just have to blow up a bomb in the air so that the line goes away. And if you hit the... I would show it to you, you'd remember.
Okay. It'd bring it all back.
Yeah.
I need that visual.
So, Rez, have you ever played Rez, Adrian?
No.
You ever play Panzer Dragoon? No? All right. Well,
did it sell over 40 million copies?
Panzer Dragoon, very popular, actually. But it was Sega Saturn. Oh, but there's one on the Xbox
I actually never owned a Saturn.
All right.
One of the few systems
popular.
I did not
It was
own.
Out on the Xbox as well. Panzer Dragoon Orta was like the third in the series, unless you consider the RPG version part of the series.
Okay.
Anyway... So we played Rez.
Adrian, we're going to have to take his word for it.
Yeah.
We're going to come back and actually talk about each of the games, but here's the list. We played Rez, and then You Don't Know Jack, Ultra Busta Move. Started off on just normal Busta Move, but it was too hard to play these days, so we switched up to Ultra. Then we played, I'm sure you've heard of this one, Adrian, Bishi Bashi Special 3, Step Champ. You're a big fan
of
that?
Is that a DDR game?
No, it's not, actually.
Well, what, the
but
Step
you,
Champ?
But you use the dance pad to play it.
Oh.
I'm looking for simple controls. We went on to Incredible Crisis. That was sort of just, oh, let's give this one a shot. Because we were on the theme of crazy-ass Japanese games with the Bishi Bashis. Well, we'll throw in Incredible Crisis, but it wasn't planned. Then we played some Tetris Attack, or Panel de Pon for you Japanese fanboys. Tetris Attack was what we played towards the end. And then Guitar Hero, of course, you know, we had to throw that in as well.
And no Katamari Damacy.
No Katamari. There's all these games that we need to play next time.
Okay.
But...
Can I get an invite next time?
Yes.
You always say, on air, he always says, yeah, come on over anytime. Do I get a call?
This was a special experiment with two very special people.
I'm special.
You are. And I just forgot to invite you. I was gonna. And then I didn't.
All right.
But you would have been welcome had you called. I wasn't trying to keep you away. So here's what happens. We played Rez, and you enjoyed it. You were especially a fan of the colors. You said it hit you on all the senses. There's the sound, because the game's very musical, very visual. Obviously, we had the sense of touch there with the vibrator thing
right,
and the vibrator
tactile.
Controller. And then, of course, you were the one wearing fragrances, so I was having a smell attack, because you were like smelling up the whole room there. It was very nice, by the way.
Smell good?
It wasn't nice. Too much.
I can't remember the...
You tell me if it was,
I can't
was,
remember
right?
the name of the smell, but
no.
if you say it, I'll remember it.
He wouldn't tell
no.
me.
I
Hold
would.
On, I'm looking for your honesty here. You
what,
know,
what
I'm
was
a newbie
it?
To the gaming.
What were you wearing?
I'm looking for you to tell me the truth.
I want you to tell me what you were wearing.
Ginger.
Ginger?
Yeah.
That's not what it smelled like to me.
What did it smell like to you?
I can't remember the word. Starts with a P, I think.
Was it fresh?
No.
Starts
anyway,
with a P?
This is... Yeah. You be quiet. This is not video game radio. We need to move on. All right. So...
There are a lot of P words, by the way.
Yeah.
So, all of you out there, feel free to associate...
R. Kelly, call in anytime. So we're about to go to break, but I want our callers to call in and tell me, given the situation that I was in, introducing people, non-gamers, or non... I don't know. John's not a non-gamer, but he's a non-party gamer, I guess. Given this situation, what games would you recommend breaking out of the closet or out of the rack of games to play, give us a call. It's 866-536-1100. And I'm going to have Adrian over the break come up with his suggestions. And hopefully it won't be Grand Theft Auto 3. But we'll be right back. Give us a call. 866-536-1100. Tell me what games you think I should introduce to the non-gamers. And maybe we'll try that during next game night. We'll be right back after these messages.
Hey,
what up?
I got an Xbox for Christmas.
But you already have a PS2.
I know, pretty cool, huh?
Very cool. What games did you buy?
Dude, I don't buy. I Gamefly.
Gamefly?
Yeah, Gamefly.com. It's this cool new way to rent video games online. You can rent as many games as you want for as long as you want.
How's that possible?
With Gamefly.com, they send you the games in the mail, you play them as long as you want, and when you're done, you send them back. And Gamefly.com pays all the shipping.
But do they have any games? I know my video store doesn't.
Gamefly.com selection is awesome. They have every new release for the PS2, Xbox, GameCube, and Game Boy Advance. I got my first two games in 2 days. You know what the best part is?
You don't have to leave your couch.
Yes. No. You never pay another late fee again. In fact, I just shredded my video store card.
Nice. What's that name again?
Gamefly.com. When you sign up, you get a 10-day free trial.
Gamefly.com, the coolest way to play all the games you want for the PS2, Xbox, and GameCube.
Hey, Chatterboxers, this is Alon. If you want to put Gamefly to the test, just head over to our website for a free trial. That's chatterboxgameshow.com.
I think I've had sex a couple times in the last year. It's hard to recall. And she's always ready with the sound clips. All right, so those listening live just heard a commercial for UAT, the University of Advancing Technology. I want to thank them for being part of the show and for making me mention them every day. Every day we do the show.
But without them, we wouldn't have a show.
That is correct. UAT.edu is where you want to go if you're interested in getting into the industry. You can learn how to make games over there. So go visit UAT.edu. On the same track, you should go to chatterboxgameshow.com or chatterboxers.com. That's our website where you can see photo galleries of our game night. You can get in on the live hot chat action.
I keep telling us to have sex.
Yeah, apparently that's what they're doing. They say, is this some hooker you picked up last night to play games with you? And I say, no. She is...
Hookers get paid.
Yes. Another friend.
There are no hookers in the house tonight.
All right. But she brought me chocolate, so that was good. All right. So we were just sort of, chatting during last segment, but I want to get into it. Get into the nitty-gritty here. So we were talking about Rez and how you really liked Rez. Although when you played it, my point should still be made that was having a hard time actually playing it. And one of my goals by introducing new games is by eliminating the barriers that gamers have when they introduce games to non-gamers. And that's like what Nintendo's trying to do with the Wii, trying to get a controller which is very natural. So they have this controller where you don't have to press buttons, you don't have to do much, you can just sort of swing it around, and it does what you expect it to. On the screen. Yeah, well, that's the goal. And certainly they've accomplished it with certain games. I think the tennis is a good example of that. And it's going to be a lot of fun for people who aren't traditionally into games. And that's why I can't wait till we get the Wii. We're going to have another game night and see if it's different. You don't have to hold a controller. You don't have to figure it out. You just sort of swing it around. That's natural. So we'll see if it goes over any better. Because honestly, played all the games here, but none of them anybody did particularly well in because it was so foreign. So anyway, let's before we get back with Sharon on the air, we're going to take some callers. We've got John from Vegas, longtime listener, I believe. John, are you on?
Yes, I am.
There you are. So you're calling in with a suggestion for me.
Yes. Well, first of all, games like puzzle games like Rez or Tetris, or even some of the older, basic simple games like even Mario or Zelda are good just because of the low number of controls. But one thing that I found that's like really effective well with girls is give them a game that has an engaging story and something that they want to come back to. So even if they struggle with it, they're going to, want to keep playing. And with guys, you want to give them something that's like instant gratification, go kill something. Like if you want, if you have a guy and you want them to play something, give them God of War, because they will get to kill things, it will be very simple, and they can work their way up to killing more things. And with a girl, give them something like, Zelda, particularly Ocarina of Time or something of that sort, where they're going to feel, an emotional attachment to the characters, so they'll want the story to progress.
I see what you're saying. Now, unfortunately, we only had about half an hour per game last night, so I couldn't bring in some of the RPG-style games where there would be a story. But I see what you're saying, certainly, the difference in tastes. I remember when I was at school in Indiana University, I took a games class, and my professor was always talking about how girls really like Tetris because it's a game about basically making things tidy, cleaning up. And that's sort of like instinctive for them.
That's sexist.
No, I know that's what it sounds like, but it's very true. I mean, they like the game where it's you're making everything neat. And you'll find that a lot of anal retentive people
May
love
Tetris. May I interject, Alon?
Go for it.
Okay, because I actually honestly had the opposite experience last night. I found that the games that had borders around them were more difficult for me than the ones that were more open, Rez being like sort of the extreme example.
Yeah. Well, I noticed that too, and that's what I wanted to get into, where, like, I expected you to enjoy the puzzle games more.
I think the one that appealed to me, Rez, appealed to me. Now, I was a newbie at every game we played, and I think would have to practice each one to get proficient at any of them, whatever my inclinations are, right? But what initially drew me to Rez was the fact that there were multiple levels, and the screen changed, and I wasn't kind of like in this box having to, you know, stay with this one screen.
So you liked the sensory overload?
I liked the transition from screen to screen. That's what I can tell you at this point. When I play more games and I have more of a frame of reference, I'll be able to be a little more specific about it. But I'm just saying what my sort of gut, like, first reaction was playing these various games. Mm-hmm. And I definitely like the ones that had a physical component to it. So at the end of the night when we were playing Guitar Heroes and I had the guitar strapped over my shoulder and I was standing and I was, you know, more
natural motion instead of just the controller that...
Right. Sitting and staying focused like on a screen and...
She's making a good point of shaping a box with her hands right
of,
now.
Like, movement, I kind of felt like... You know,
did you feel claustrophobic
I'm someone
with these
who
games?
Needs like more range to like explore and find what the limits are. You know what I mean? Rather than being sort of set up front and having to work within that.
Sounds like John's right. Ocarina of Time would go over really well.
Well, I'm not sure what that game is.
Neither do I.
Is that an actual game, Adrian?
It is.
I don't know.
We're again once more in the position of having to take
its
word for it.
It's the Legend of Zelda game that
Lon,
first came out.
We're looking to you, you know.
It first came out on the Nintendo 64. All right, and it's very free roaming Zelda. It's all 3D.
Okay.
I mean, just like Mario 64. I should have really brought that one out.
Mario. I was thinking Sunshine would be a good game to bring to.
Sunshine gets a little bit complex because you're using the jetpack.
To an extent, but not at the beginning. When you first start playing, it's all simple and it's Mario, so people are. If you played games when you were growing up, you're like, oh, I remember Mario, and you're more likely to deal with the hard time of learning the jetpack because it's Mario.
Yeah.
If you have fond memories of saving the princess when you're a kid, you're going to be happy with it.
I just think that the jetpack added like this extra element where you're talking about, Sharon, like being part of the game, the guitar felt, I mean, you had a direct connection,
you know,
with what
I
was going on.
I just had a flash of insight. I think it was the actual duration of the games, and one of the things that appealed to me about certain games over others is that there's longer duration for learning. Mm-hmm. Like when you're kind of trial and erroring a game for the first time, some games the time runs out really quickly, so you don't really have a lot of time to make mistakes. And I am someone who learns by like making a bunch of mistakes and then just figuring out through what not to do, how to like approach the game.
Yeah.
And not all games afforded me the same amount of time to, you know,
like you don't know Jack.
Go through that process, and it just reaffirmed that I didn't know Jack.
She would freak out
which,
over Mario.
You know,
WarioWare's touch.
Really? Well, that's the thing.
When you're trying something new, you don't really need to be told that you don't need know Jack, because then you're it's pretty
well,
discouraging, like
game.
Up front. You know.
What about the topless game? The 17-year-old girl.
You know, we were. I said when we were...
Was that when we played?
No, we didn't.
Did I miss out on
I turned
that?
To John and I said, listen,
was
we just played...
Was that when I was in the bathroom?
No, I said that we just played You Don't Know Jack. Perhaps next time we'll try the guy game.
Yes,
the guy game is essentially You Don't Know Jack, but with naked girls. And so next time we can try that one, and I think you'll have a much easier time getting the answers right. Although a lot of the time it's very
random.
Oh, really? But, yeah, well, the questions are much more down to earth. it's not as intellectual as You Don't Know Jack is.
What color is the sky?
Yeah.
And there'd be a girl like, get it wrong.
Yeah, exactly. That's the sort of game it is. So, before we go to break here, again in a second.
Should I be insulted by that?
No.
Am I okay?
These are drunk party girls.
I don't need to leave the room right now.
No.
Okay.
No, this is like Girls Gone Wild on video games. But I think we started a touch ahead of where we needed to start. Like, when I grew up in high school, I was playing games all the time. Now, granted, games, you're a little bit older than me, and games weren't at their level when you were, like, in high school.
A year or two.
Yeah.
Give or take.
A little bit more time. But, I mean, what was your impression of gamers the last 10 years, right? And I know gaming's evolved a lot lately and become more acceptable. Like, when you first met John,
asking me?
Yeah.
I don't know.
How long ago did you meet John?
I'm one girl, hey, you know?
But we want your opinion.
We're missing the answer here. How long ago did you meet John?
I'm here, right? I mean, I think gaming's cool.
Well, don't lie to me.
I'm not lying to you.
How long ago did you meet John? Like 2 years?
Gaming's cool. 3 years.
3 years ago. And you found out he's this hardcore gamer
Trace.
Guy. He's a hardcore gamer guy.
Yeah, it was only slowly revealed to me, though.
Okay, because he knows better than be like, hey, listen, I play Halo every night of the week.
For 5 hours.
Exactly.
Right. He didn't want to, you know,
but then you found
shock
this out.
Me with that reality.
We're going to come back from break and hear your reaction to finding out that this guy you met suddenly, you know, is a guy who plays games all the time.
He's a nerd.
Yeah.
Quote, unquote.
We'll be back, everybody.
It's me, Mario. You're listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. It's a number one. Woohoo!
Welcome back once again to the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show. My name's Alon. Next to me is Adrian.
I'm across the table. I'm not
across.
Well, don't lie to the people.
You know, relative to the people listening.
I'm at the apogee of the table, by the way, and that's a word that I learned and You Don't Know Jack last night. Apogee.
Right. So, we've got Sharon in studio. Sharon, the non-gamer. We've got Adrian, the mainstream gamer.
Alon, how long do I hold the title of non-gamer? I mean, when does that officially change? What are the what's the criteria for that?
When you buy a video game for yourself.
That's it. That's the turning point.
Exactly.
It's got to be more than one game.
One game.
Well, by that I mean a game machine with a collection of games.
So you usually have to have a game machine to play it on. Like if I just went out and bought a game.
Like you're
going to
say, hey, you know what?
Qualify.
I really enjoyed this. I'm going to go pick up a PlayStation 2 because it's cheap. It's really versatile. Can play all these games. I loved the dancing game or whatever. You didn't even play the dancing game last night, but that's an example.
Well, Alon, you were all over it. You were cutting a rug, man.
Yeah, it was. All right, so we've got the mainstream gamer, the non-gamer, and the hardcore gamer here in studio.
The nerd.
That's me. You got it. Geek, nerd.
The nerd.
So when we went to break, I was asking Sharon.
That's like the Bears, the nerd. Okay.
And about 3 years ago,
I'm done.
You met this John guy. He's the other guy who was over last night. Now, you're not this way anymore, but when you first met him, you and he were dating, right? And so he introduced slowly to you the fact that he plays games, right?
Yes, sir.
How slowly?
Yeah, how did he introduce this to you?
I still don't really have a handle on the myth of John and gaming.
Did you just kind of walk?
I still feel like I just have a slice of the moon on that. The whole story.
Like you walked into the apartment one day and go, oh, John, I didn't believe that there's another person in your life and its name is Xbox.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Well, it was apparent when I walked into John's apartment one day and there was a projector mounted onto his ceiling that, you know.
But that only just happened.
Maybe John's, well, that only just happened and you're asking for a little bit of history here. Well, it took me 3 years to arrive at that moment and to say, well, you know, maybe this is a more serious hobby than I initially, you know, first realized.
And so now everybody has numbers. Everyone in life, you know, you can rate them 1 through 10, 1 through however you want it, your rating system is. But John, I'm guessing, went down a rung or two at that point.
Oh, no.
No?
No, John didn't go down a rung.
Did he rise in status at that point?
He's holding steady.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
So it doesn't bother you that these people play games. You come and hang out with me for an entire evening with John and I and play games, and you don't have this negative view towards gaming, which I'm surprised about. And you gave it a fair go with all these games. So let's move past Rez. We know that you liked Rez, so maybe that was a good thing to bring that out first. We moved on to You Don't Know Jack. Even though we were on the projector, I had to turn a light on so we could see the buttons, because we had to know which button was X and which was circle. Totally hadn't thought about that. Something to point out for all the gamers listening, like, everyone calling, if they called in and told me, yeah, triangle is the button on top, we would say, well, of course, duh, right?
Duh.
But John's an Xboxer, you're a non-gamer, so nobody realized this, that, oh, wait, we have to be able to see the controller to play. So I was at an inherent advantage, even though it was a trivia game, because I knew where the buttons were. But that game really wasn't a lot about gaming. It was more introducing the fact that there can be fun experiences, which are non-game style, using video game systems. So that's one reason I brought that one out. But after that, we moved on to Ultra Bust a Move. Now, here's the game where I thought you would love it, you'd get a hold of it really quick, and you'd be kicking John's ass in no time. And you were saying that the static screen in the, you know, the square enclosure just didn't give you the welcoming feeling that Rez did. Right? So describe a little bit when you were playing that. After 5 minutes, once you knew the controls, where were you at? Like, were you just like, no, this game's lame, didn't like it? Or were you thinking, okay, I want to give it some more time and maybe I could like this one?
Yeah. I could probably think about that question a little bit and come up with three or four different answers given the time. But, you know, initially I just think that, like, I kind of got what the game was about, like, almost immediately. And I was just, like, when I knew what I had to do to figure it out, like, I wasn't challenged any further. So I kind of just shut down.
Just thought, okay, this is lame. I have to shoot three balls together and
Yeah, pretty much. Like, I just like the visual complexity of Rez. Mm-hmm. And, like I said before, the different levels and changing screens and, you know, like, when I sort of got what the game was, what the strategy was, what the goal was, like, maybe that...
It just wasn't interesting to
you. That particular challenge that it presented didn't appeal to me personally, but I can't speak for all non-gamers or all women.
Well, of course.
Or, you know, it's one person. Next just want to remind people that this is one person's experience here.
Well, next week I'll get an actual hooker like the guys online were suggesting, and we'll see what she likes. He or she, I guess.
Good luck with that, by the way.
Hey, baby, I want you to come over and play some games.
Is that what the kids are calling these days?
What kind of games? All right, so Ultra Bust a Move, or just Bust a Move in general,
yeah,
didn't really do it for you. It wasn't as intriguing to you. Not to say that games in general aren't, but that particular game.
Yeah.
So after that, we moved on to a totally different game, Bishi Bashi Special, Three-Step Champ. Now, I'm assuming nobody listening has ever heard of that game, and that's fine. Essentially, folks, Bishi Bashi Step Champ is, think WarioWare. It's all these different tiny, really short party games where mm-hmm. you don't even know what you're supposed to do at first.
Mm-hmm.
You're given the instructions. Actually, WarioWare doesn't give you instructions at all. Bishi Bashi at least tells you what to do before you play. And then you play for like 30 seconds. And it's over. Now, the cool part about this game is that you do it on dance pads. So I was able to show off the dance pads. Okay, forget the controller. Forget the complexity of shoulder buttons and squares and triangles. Just step forward, step left, step right. That's it. And so you got on that game, and unfortunately it's very much in Japanese, so it's hard to understand some of the instructions. But what was your impression of that? Not necessarily of that game in itself, but like the concept that this sort of game exists, a party game where you can just have fun real quick and a bunch of different people get to play together.
Yeah. Well, it was difficult. For sure. You know, that game, that's not something that I think the average person could jump in on and get.
Maybe, like, if they read Japanese.
Maybe. It might help a little bit. The graphics are different from what I have been accustomed to seeing in gaming. So that was surprising. And that appealed to me. But I was thinking about this Rez game again. And to me, the graphics were more contemporary, I guess. Maybe that's wrong.
Well, it's more advanced. The game came out years later, whereas Bishi Bashi is, like, pretty old school. It looks kind of like Super Nintendo. It's on the original PlayStation. I hadn't mentioned that. So
right.
It's several years old.
Right. So as someone new to gaming, I think the thing that I'm drawn to more is the more cutting edge, you know.
Graphics were really important for
you. Graphics were very important to me. Not that the graphics weren't interesting, but I almost think that to really appreciate it, it takes someone with your history and exposure to gaming to sort of be able to put it in a context and see how, like, an earlier game would connect or relate.
See, now most
to
people,
a current.
The hardcore gamers like myself get the impression that the simple games, without the confusing graphics, are more applicable to the people who don't have experience playing because they don't have to think about so much. Like with Rez, when you first started playing, you were really sort of confused about, well, where are the enemies and what do I shoot? And John, his head was like exploding at all the different things going on the screen. Whereas, and he's used to games like Call of Duty and Halo 2 and stuff. Whereas you appreciated that game a lot more. Admittedly, neither of you really got into the Bishibashi game. Maybe catching sushi burgers and escaping from mad men in cat suits with miniguns on their hands isn't really your style of game. I don't know.
Gotta love those Japanese.
Yeah, that's a crazy Japanese game. But I thought something like that would be neat because, like, there's track and field in it. There's a lot of things that's very simple gameplay. And I had this impression that for someone who doesn't play games a lot, you need to introduce simple gameplay elements. And maybe if we played the track and field one over and over and over and over, so you would be able to practice it. And instead, this game just introduces you to a different experience every time. That basically, time for you to be confused, time and time again.
Right.
And that's what ended up happening.
Yeah,
I
see what you're saying. Like, pick up the basic sort of gaming skills that you can advance to more sophisticated gaming, you know, programs that are coming out right now. And I think that that, you know, probably has some merit, you know, to it. For someone who's taking sort of that approach that they really want to, you know. But me, I'm more open to learning things, like, sort of as I go. And the more exposure to games that I would have, the better, you mm-hmm. know. Because different games call on different, skill sets and different ways of using and applying what you know, right? Yeah. So,
and so the next game actually sort of applies what you were just saying there. We're like, okay, maybe with, you know, Rez, there's the skill of, because I've played a lot of games, I'm more familiar with the sort of thing that would happen on the screen and finding the enemies and how the mechanics would work. So then I moved on to some other games that had different play mechanics, but then we tried Incredible Crisis, right? After we played Bishibashi, and that's the game where there was that dancing game in the office building. Right, and the giant ball that we had to run away from and stuff. Now, at this point, I was trying to get, like, a non-music game, because John's not so adept at music games. And
we thought.
Yeah.
He kind of kicked my butt on Guitar Hero.
Guitar Hero.
Guitar Hero at the end there.
So, after Bishibashi, I was like, in the theme of crazy Japanese games, let's bring out Incredible Crisis. Mm-hmm. Hopefully this won't be very musical, because there were parts of Bishibashi which were music-related, different mini-games. So, all right, we'll play something totally different. And I had totally forgotten that the very first level of Incredible Crisis was just Dance Dance Revolution, essentially. And but this is sort of your point, how there's different mechanics from game to game, different skill sets. And it was keeping the time to music and pressing a button.
Right.
Very simple. Someone who's not interested in games or doesn't have a history with games could still understand it.
Correct.
Right. Although you're still having a hard time with it.
Well, we were jumping from game to game to game that called on different ways of applying yourself. So, and we were transitioning pretty quickly, right?
Yeah. And so the Incredible Crisis, the dancing in the office building, that do anything for you?
Let me think about that one, Alon.
All right, we'll go to break, come back with that question in mind. Remember to give us a call at 866-536-1100. Tell me what games you think we should play in a game night with a non-gamer. Back for our last segment, everybody. This is Chatterbox Video Game Radio. My name's Alon. We've got Adrian and Sharon in studio with us. Sharon participated in a little experiment with myself and my friend John just last night. Introduced her to a bunch of video games. She doesn't really play games, and I thought, okay, I want to hear what you have to say about it and see, basically, if you liked the experience and if this is the sort of thing that opens your eyes, like, hey, maybe I would want to play a game on my own in the future. You know, not necessarily buy that PS2. Not necessarily get a whole library of games, but perhaps, let's sit at home and play Mario tonight or whatever instead of going off to the opera or whatever it is that you do. I guess you bike a lot. But before we move on, I can't forget to recommend UAT. Go to uat.edu. Check it out. You want to get in the games industry. You want to make games to introduce to people like Sharon. Go do so at uat.edu. Okay. And you can call us at 866-536-1100 if you have a question for Sharon, myself, or Adrian. Or if you want to recommend a game to introduce to a non-gamer, I'd love to hear your thoughts. So, getting back to this, I had asked you right before the break on an Incredible Crisis. We were playing this game, the office dance studio, basically. The first level, you're in an office, and they're like, all righty, everybody, let's go do some aerobic exercise. And you start dancing, and the game is very simple, like very Dance's Revolution style, but just one button at a time. It's real easy from the point of view of someone who's played that sort of game before.
Right, and I think I got the hang of it.
Yeah, although you never actually completed the first stage.
Initially, like I just got through that first level or whatever.
Did you hit something like that? Did you feel overwhelmed with it, or that like it just wasn't working?
Well, I was a little tired, to be honest.
What was it,
we
like
were playing games
into
the wee hours of the morning.
Yeah.
So. And jumping from game to game, you know, it was quite overwhelming. But, again, you know, being exposed to all these different games, I was interested in just kind of, like, getting my feet wet, so to speak. You know, getting a taste, a flavor for each game. And then, I mean, really, I don't think you can make a fair assessment until you've, like, given a game a chance. And
so 5 minutes isn't good enough to decide if you like it or not.
Maybe some people can make, you know, snap decisions. Or
I do that all the time.
Yeah.
Although and, I probably shouldn't.
Yeah. So, you know, given more exposure to any one of those games we played last night, I think it could be interesting.
Of the seven, then we try Guitar Hero. That's the final game. Actually, we played Tetris Attack, right? But I think Tetris Attack was the same effect as Ultra Busted.
I was hearing Stairway to Heaven, like, in the back of my mind at that time. Because it's like, all right, this is coming. I see light at the end of the tunnel. This is, like, the final game.
Because it was, like, 1 a.m?
It was, like, game boot camp.
She just wanted to be done by this time.
That's actually what happened was, so after Incredible Crisis, we played Tetris
Gaming
Attack.
Gaming boot camp.
I think the Tetris Attack was very similar to Bust a Move, where, like, you got it, but not, it wasn't clicking because you need Tetris Attack. You need some time to sort of like take in the whole board and figure out what's going on. And in the end, it just seemed like you weren't very interested in that game. Like you were more wanted to get away and play the guitar game. I don't know if that's what happened. Do you remember? Do you recall?
Well, the musical, like, do you remember you were prodding me to play Guitar Hero? You're like, come on, this is it.
But first we had to get there. With Tetris Attack, you just didn't want to even play it.
Right. I don't have a very clear recollection of that one.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's move straight on. So we go to Guitar Hero.
It left a vague impression.
Okay.
With me.
Apparently.
On me, yeah.
And that's the one I thought you would like the most. It's everything so reversed for me.
Isn't it awful to be wrong? I mean, nobody can be right 100% of the time.
I certainly try.
I think
you are close on. You're
I think it's she likes action. She likes this MTV style games where it's cut. Because I can tell that just by sitting here with her. She's rocking her in her chair.
She's a very passionate girl.
She's passionate. She's creative. She's smart. But the whole just watching
There's
one screen
butt?
Sit
yeah.
there.
Wait,
no,
passionate,
no.
creative, but.
No, no, I'm saying about his theory.
How about
just
and?
Sitting there watching one screen. Isn't going to do it for her.
Well, I got to tell you, I spent my first day, I met Sharon this past week, and just after one day, I was like, wow, it's kind of like she's on E a lot. Like, she like wants to touch things and see things and the colors and
yeah.
very, very tactile.
I am like a kid in that sense, and I think that's the, probably the cool basic experience I had. Like, if I could break it down last night, is that I was introduced to fun. And then I realized there was a whole other level of fun. And then there was fun beyond that, but I didn't get to...
And boredom.
...appreciate the first level of fun. You know, it was like being a kid in a candy store. So, point being that gaming sort of reintroduces you to the, you know, concept of play. And we all need that in our lives.
So, maybe like Adrian was saying during the break, we need to try only 3 games instead of 7.
I think that's probably... you know, yeah.
Spend at least an hour per game.
Approach.
Yeah.
Minimum.
I was thinking half hour per game, and then, yeah, maybe we should have done a little longer with fewer games. But here's what happens next, right? We move on from Tetris Attack, which I am seeing clearly neither John nor Sharon are very interested in. Which disappointed me, because it's one of my favorite games
Remind
of all time.
Remind me of that one, what it looked like.
It had the blocks, and you've got the white things. You've got to swap the blocks sideways, and you wanted to swap them vertically, but you couldn't.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
And you have to get the hearts and together so that the diamonds then fall on each other, and it's the combo stuff. You saw me play, you're like, wow, three combos in a row, right? And it's seeing you can plan stuff ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, when you first play it, I mean, it takes a while to get into it, to start thinking on that level.
Yeah.
A lot just of puzzle games are that way.
Sometimes I think I'm a very analytical, linear-type thinker, but when I play these games, I realize that perhaps I'm not.
Yeah.
Because that, to me, was kind of an analytical, kind of linearly structured game that... like, I could get into to a point.
Yeah. Well, your job is very analytical, right?
Yes and no.
Right.
That's why you don't want to do it when you play games.
I guess that
that's
makes a
right.
point.
And that's a good point, Adrian.
I was thinking the same.
Ding,
that's
ding,
what
ding,
I'm
ding,
here
ding,
for.
Ding, 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 ding.
So we move over to Guitar Hero.
It's you got it.
It's the end of the night. It's like a little after 1 o'clock.
Maybe you don't want to think too hard, you know, when you're playing games, and you more want the visceral experience, you know.
That's why I've been having a hard time with Metroid Prime Hunters today.
That's why
it's
beat
too
up
damn
hookers.
Hard to control on a tiny DS Lite. All right, so I want to tell the Guitar Hero story. I know we only have another minute or two.
All right.
So it's late at night. You're tired. You don't even want to play games anymore. You're like, I'll just watch. I don't want to play. And I said, no, listen, you have to play Guitar Hero. You're not allowed to come in this house and not play it. It's sort of a rule of mine. And
Thank God I never go over.
Yeah. John's got a guitar strapped over his shoulder.
Yeah, and looking pretty hot,
yes.
I might say.
And we've got pictures of it.
We do. We have it on record.
Yeah. Moving on. So then he plays the tutorial. I have you play the tutorial. And instantly you're like, oh, wow, this is sort of fun. And you played the first song. And I expect you to turn around, give me the guitar, and be like, all right, end of the night. But
got
no,
it.
You're like, all right, we're going to play the next song now.
Mm-hmm.
What's next?
Mm-hmm.
And then you play the third song. It's like, all right, you're... you know, you're really giving this a good chance. And I appreciated that, that you were liking the game. And was that one of your favorites? Did it beat
Absolutely.
Rez?
No, I think that book ended the night nicely. You know, starting with Rez and ending with Guitar Hero, those were nice bookends. And those were the memorable experiences, which often are the case. Like, sometimes when you're exposed to new areas, you remember what you first are exposed to and sort of your last impression, but like the stuff in between gets a little lost. Yeah.
The interesting thing to note is that both those games are very musical, very auditory games. And although the Rez, you were very attracted to some of like the visuals in it.
Yeah.
It's a very musical game, at least once I started playing and showed you all the different music that it makes.
Very
basically.
Cool.
And then Guitar Hero came along, and you loved it because you were making the music.
Yeah.
And you get sort of played
we
with
all
John.
Want, you know, have that secret desire to be a rock star.
Yeah.
So, you
That's
know,
why
it
it's
definitely.
So good. Anyway, thank you very much
that.
For coming on the show. I wish we had more time to talk about it because the Guitar Hero story would have been nice. I'm glad you enjoyed it. And of course, we'll do this again sometime, and Adrian, you'll join us even. Maybe we can get Andrew to come along.
No.
No. Not going to happen.
Not going to happen.
And Alon, I must thank you. For exposing me to this wonderful new...
You're welcome. I wonder if you're humoring me.
Thanks.
We'll be back next week to talk about all sorts of stuff. Thank you very much for paying attention to the show, everyone. We'll be back.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info and the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your bases are belong to us.